Would you pray with me? Father in heaven, as we come before you this Christmas season, we do want to come in worship. We want to adore you. Lord, we want to express our thanks for all that you have done for us. As a local body of believers, God in heaven, you have called us to surrender our lives to you, knowing that one day you're going to come back and you're going to take us to heaven. Or if our life ends before you come back, we know that to be absent from this body is to be present with you. And Lord, it started on that Christmas morning when, God, you came down to earth, born of a baby. And this Christmas season, I pray that as a church, I pray that we will lose everything else and focus on you, knowing that you're the reason for Christmas, knowing that you are the one who is worthy of our praise. And Lord, I pray for our community this Christmas season. I pray that as we go out into the community, help us to be a light. Help us to use this time of year where people are focused on Christmas. It's a wonderful opportunity for us to share the gospel. It's a wonderful opportunity for us to explain what it means to be a Christian. And it's an opportunity for us to share with the world that things can be so much better than what they're experiencing now. So Lord, I pray and I ask that this morning that you will speak through me. Make the words your words. Oh, Holy Spirit, you know I have nothing worthy to say. But I pray that you will speak to us and empower us to live this week in honor and glory for you. And all God's people said, amen. Well, it's officially Christmas season. And how many of you in here start listening to Christmas music the day after Thanksgiving? A few of you. How many of you start listening to Christmas music before Thanksgiving? Oh, wow, there's quite a few of you in here that do that. I'm more of an after Thanksgiving type person. My wife is as early as possible kind of person. She gets started real early. She loves Christmas music of all kinds. We have, we have hundreds and hundreds of Christmas songs and artists, and it's all great and it's all wonderful, and I like Christmas music. To be honest with you, for those of you that do not play an instrument, Christmas music is hard. I don't know. Some of those old Christmas hymns are incredibly difficult to play, but we do the best we can, and we rearrange them. That's why I kind of like the newer stuff, because it's easier to play. But it's good, and I love Christmas music because it reminds us of Jesus and the fact that God himself decided, you know what? I'm going to take a body like theirs so that I can talk to them and I can show them what I am like. Christmas is such a wonderful time of year. And this year, our theme, as I told you earlier, we're going to have Christmas as the reason for worship. And I hope that you leave each Sunday morning in worship and in awe and in wonder of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The thing about Christmas is it gets busy, does it not? You have office parties, and you have church parties, and you have church plays, and then you got to go shopping. And then you got to go more shopping. And then you're, oh, wait a minute, I forgot to get this kind of shopping. And then you got to run to Dollar General because, oops, I forgot that. I'll be right back, right? You got all this stuff that goes on with Christmas. And then, like last year, we went and saw the Christmas trees over in Knoxville. It was a beautiful display of Christmas trees and that type of thing. And you go do all of that. And it gets really, really busy at Christmas time, does it not? And then I've got my wife's birthday this coming week. That just adds to the Christmas busyness for us. And I'm looking at the next 3 or 4 weeks and I'm going, whew, I'm tired already. And it hasn't even started. And if we're not careful, the hustle and the bustle and the busyness and all of the stuff that we're doing kind of distracts us from what we're really doing it for. Isn't that true? If we're not careful, I mean, it can distract us from the reason for Christmas and the reason to worship. But I think something that can be a little more dangerous than that is the fact that I bet most of you in here can tell me the Christmas story. Now, I bet all of us would probably get some of the details wrong because there's so much and there's so many details. But we all know the Christmas story. And every year we hear the Christmas story. And then there's a Christmas play that tells us the Christmas story. And the pastor who feels obligated preaches on Christmas throughout the Christmas season, right? And every pastor that I know struggles with, well, how do I do it in a way that's fresh and how that gets our attention? Because it can be so familiar that we lose sight of what it really is. It's kind of like that movie or television show that you've seen 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 times, and you can almost quote it word for word, right? And you will put it up, and you'll turn the TV on, and you'll let that show or that movie play while you're busy working around the house, cleaning, doing dishes. You're not sitting there really paying attention to the show, but you kind of got it going in the background and you can kind of hear it and you'll stop and pay attention to it for a little while. You've all done this, right? Or am I the only one, right? No, you're with me? And it's kind of playing in the background, but you're busy doing other things. And if we're not careful, Christmas can become the thing that's playing in the background while we're busy doing other things. But as we studied this morning, we're looking at the names of Jesus in this 6-week series. And the names of Jesus that we looked at this morning is Jesus is King and Jesus is Lord. And we came across this big theological word this morning that everybody's like, what does that mean? The word preeminence. The scriptures tell us that Jesus is to have preeminence in our life. Not that he's one of the important things in our life, but he is the most important thing in our life. That he should hold place number one, and there should be no other. There is no 1A, there is no 1B. Jesus is number one. So we need to move Jesus from the background of the Christmas story into front and center of the Christmas story. And that's what I want to try to do this Christmas season, is keep Jesus in the front. And I want us to walk out each Sunday morning worshiping at Christmas time. And today, we're going to start with Mary. And we're going to take a look at an interaction Mary had. And we're going to look at Mary this morning. And hopefully you'll walk away in wonder and in awe, just like I have all week long as I've thought about this. And Luke tells us about this. He tells us in Luke chapter 1. He says, Luke chapter 1, he begins. He says, now in the 6th month, the angel of Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth. The 6th month there is referring to the 6th month of pregnancy by Mary's cousin Elizabeth. If you know the Christmas story, you know Elizabeth and her husband was in the priesthood and he's serving. And the angel came to her husband and said, you're going to have a son. Even though they were very old and way too old to have kids, you're going to have a son. And he's going to be the forerunner for the Messiah. Your son is going to proclaim that the Savior has come. And Zacharias was a little bit doubtful, and because he was doubtful, the angel said, okay, you can't talk anymore. That's right, struck him mute. And he couldn't speak until the baby was born. Well, it's during this period of time, Elizabeth now is 6 months pregnant, and the angel Gabriel comes to Mary, he says, to a virgin betrothed or engaged to a man whose name was Joseph. And he tells us Joseph was of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. The virgin's name was Mary. The importance of the virgin birth cannot be overstated. You cannot overemphasize the virgin birth enough. It is impossible. It is crucial to our understanding and to our theology of salvation. You see, the Bible tells us, remember way back at the Garden of Eden, who sinned first? Eve, thank you. Somebody knows. Eve sinned, right? She sinned because she was deceived. And then Adam partook. He kind of knew what he was doing. And then Adam sinned. So we can get onto Eve all we want to, gentlemen, but the guy knew what he was doing and he still did what was wrong. And the Bible tells us that our sin nature is passed down through the Father. So, gentlemen, you and I are responsible for passing that sin nature down to our kids. And we got it from our fathers. You and I, as I've said over and over again, we are sinners by birth and we are sinners by choice. And we get our sin nature from our dad. The virgin birth tells us that Jesus did not have a human father. Jesus' father was God in heaven. And God the Father, the Holy Father, passed down His qualities to Jesus, not Joseph, His human, quote-unquote, father. So Jesus was not born with a sin nature. And we know, as we've studied the book of John this last year, Jesus did not commit sin. He was found innocent in all three of His trials. So Jesus was neither a sinner by birth, and He was not a sinner by choice. He was not a sinner. He was perfect and holy and righteous. And Jesus, being perfect and holy and righteous, then was able to be the sufficient and complete sacrifice for your sins and mine. Had Jesus had an earthly father, He would have been born with a sin nature, and had been born with a sin nature, He would have been a man just like you and a man just like me, and His death on the cross would have been absolutely nothing for you and for me. So we must always stop and recognize the virgin birth. It was prophesied in the Old Testament. The angel Gabriel comes to Mary and tells her that this is going to happen, and Luke records it. And Luke, by the way, was a historian. He thoroughly examined and he thoroughly researched everything that he told us about. He had multiple eyewitness accounts, and he gives us the story of the virgin birth. We must understand the importance of the virgin birth as it relates to your salvation and to mine. So, Gabriel is sent to go talk to the Virgin Mary, and she's engaged to Joseph. She's probably a teenager, 14, 15, we're not 100% sure, but she's a young lady, and she's engaged to Joseph. Well, it says this, "And having come in, the angel said to her, 'Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women.' But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and considered what manner of greeting this was." So here's Mary, and when you think of Mary, and when I think of Mary, we think of Mary, the mother of Jesus, right? I mean, that's just normal. But before Mary was the mother of Jesus, Mary was just a young girl, a godly young girl, probably most likely raised by godly parents. And Mary is just going along, doing her thing, doing the thing that she's supposed to do, and all of a sudden, boom, in her room is an angel. And she got scared. And you would have got scared too, and I would have been scared throughout Scripture, right? Every time we see an angel appear to a person, it scares people. And here's this angel, and he stops, and he calls her highly favored. And I've thought about that phrase over and over and over the last couple weeks. Highly favored. What a wonderful statement about somebody. But God highly favors you, just the way that He highly favors Mary. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, and because your sins are covered by His blood, God looks at you and He highly favors you. And He says, "You're blessed among women," and she's troubled at this, and she's confused at this. And she doesn't know exactly what's going on because she doesn't know the end of the story. All she knows is, "I'm minding my own business, and now there's an angel talking to me." To me, I mean, like, whoa, that's kind of a bit much, is it not? Well, the angel says to her, "Don't be afraid, Mary," because she was afraid. "Don't be afraid." Why? "Because you have found favor with God." And you, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, if you are a Christian, if you know Jesus as Lord and Savior, you do not have to be afraid because you have found favor with God. Satan wants you to live afraid. Satan wants you to live in fear. But I'm here to tell you that you have favor with God. So the angel says, "Don't be afraid. You found favor." And then he goes this, "And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And I want you to try to put yourself in Mary's place for a moment. It's hard for us to do because, like I said, we've read this over and over and over again. I bet many of you can quote this passage. But the angel goes, "Behold." The Greek word "behold" means pay attention or listen up. Look here. You know why? Because she's scared. And she's trying to process the fact that there's an angel in here calling her blessed. And while she's trying to process it, the angel's like, hey, listen, I got something important to tell you. And I need you to pay attention. And I need you to listen close because this is huge. And boy, he wasn't kidding, because nothing else had ever happened like this before, and nothing else is going to happen after that. He's got this amazing piece of information to tell Mary. So pay attention. Listen up. And when he gets her attention, he says, you're going to conceive in your womb and you're going to bring forth a son. And he's not talking about in the future after she gets married and she understands this. You're going to get pregnant. And she's like, I'm a virgin, but you're going to get pregnant. And look at this. You're going to call his name Jesus, all right? You're going to have a baby even though you've never slept with a man. I want you to call the baby's name Jesus. Now pay attention because this is important. He will be great. Oh, that's been pretty cool news, right? You're going to have a son, and he's going to be great. I bet, yeah, I like that part. And he will be called Son of the Highest. The word highest there means Most High God. He will be Son of the Most High God. And the word son there is not used the way you and I use the word son. You and I think of son as born of your mother, right? You're her son. And that's an appropriate use, and they used it that way in the New Testament. But most of the time they would talk about son of in the New Testament as having the qualities of the Father or being like the Father. And it would be used not just of physical birth, it would be used of a person who was like an apprentice or a person who would learn from another person. Remember Paul, he called Timothy his son in the faith. He also called Titus his son in the faith. And when he says son of the Most Highest, he's saying he is going to have the exact same qualities as the Most High God. Whoa. Is anybody like, that's kind of big news, is it not? Wait a minute. My son is going to be exactly like God? Well, doesn't that mean he is God? Yes, it does. And doesn't Jesus say over and over again, I am God? And isn't that why he was crucified for claiming to be God? Okay, can you try to picture where Mary is at the moment? I mean, she's just been, here's an angel, and he's given her, I mean, huge news. He's going to be just like God. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And she would understand this. She would understand the history of Israel and that the line of David was promised to David and his line forever, and that everybody knew that it would be the rightful king would come from the line of David. And well, guess who she happens to be engaged to? Somebody that's in the line of David. The Lord God's going to give your son the throne, and his throne is going to last how long? Forever. Now, I look at this, and I think about this, and when I really stop and just kind of walk through those verses, I go, wow, isn't that huge? Isn't that amazing? That's news that just would blow anybody away. Can you imagine a 15-year-old girl hearing that news? And this is what Mary is hearing. And her response is so beautiful. This highly favored young girl has been just told the most unique piece of news that will ever exist in all of history. And she is the one. And then Mary said to the angel, well, how can this be, since I do not know a man? Now, her cousin Zacharias, when he got the news from the angel, he doubted. And he wasn't so sure, and that's why his lips were sealed. Mary doesn't doubt. She doesn't say, are you sure this is going to happen? She says, okay, God, how are you going to accomplish all of this? And we see this highly favored woman is also a woman of great faith. In order to hear that kind of news and to go, okay, well, how are you going to do it? Takes faith that is beyond my imagination. And if you and I are going to please our Heavenly Father, the Scriptures tell us that when we come to God, we must come to Him by faith. And you and I must approach God the way Mary approached God, with this overwhelming faith that goes beyond what we can see and beyond what we can hear. and that we understand. And this highly favored woman is a woman of great faith, and she is in awe. How can this be? She is in awe, and she is in wonder of the news that she has just been given. And for you and I, do we ever sit back and do we just sit in awe and in wonder of the news of Christmas? Do you ever just stop and sit in this amazement that God loves you? One of the things that I like to do, we have a hot tub, as most of you know, and I love to go out in the evenings when the weather permits, and I love to look at the stars. When I look at the stars, and I look at the moon, and I think about the fact, I can't fathom how far away they are. They're, I don't know, like light years away. I don't know what a light year is, but I know it's a long ways out there. And those stars are so far out there that you and I will never get there. And yet I can see their light shining down. And I stare at the sky and I wonder at the vastness and the awesomeness and the bigness of this universe. And then I think, and God created all of that. And He exists outside of that. And for me, it brings me to a place of wonder at the greatness of my God. And when I start wondering at how great, and I am in awe of how great God is, then all of a sudden, miracles don't seem like that big a deal. I mean, if you believe there is a God, and if you believe God created the heavens and the earth, isn't it logical to believe that miracles can happen? Isn't it logical to believe that God can transform anybody? Isn't it logical to believe that God can do such amazing things that will leave you speechless? It ought to, and it ought to bring us to that place where we just want to worship. And that's where Mary was. So she asked the question, how can this be? And the angel gives her an answer. He says, and the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. So he's talked about God the Father. He's talked about Jesus. And now he's talking about the Holy Spirit. We see the Trinity wrapped up in this story. The Holy Spirit will come upon you. And the power of the highest, the power of the Most High God, will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One, that's Jesus, that Holy One who is to be born, will be called the Son of God. Son of God, or having the exact same qualities as God. So he gives her the next explanation. This is what's going to happen. The Heavenly Father is going to cause your son to be conceived. And your son is going to be called the Son of God. And so this highly favored woman, a woman of great faith, a woman of faith that is just hard for me to imagine, being hit with this awesome and overwhelming story, says, okay, how are we going to do this? And then she hears how, and her response, The angel throws in just this little tidbit. He goes, now indeed Elizabeth, your cousin, is 6 months pregnant. She has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. So he says, well, just in case there's a seed of doubt, how about you go visit your cousin who's too old to have a kid and see that she's 6 months pregnant? Kind of reminds me of Abraham and Sarah, right? And he says this, for with God, nothing will be impossible. Do you believe that with God, nothing will be impossible? That if God can create this universe, that if God can cause a virgin to have a son, God can do the impossible. God can do the impossible in your life. And then Mary says, behold, there's the word. She used the exact same word that the angel used. The angel said, look, behold, pay attention. I want you to listen and look. I've got something important. And she's like, all right, I paid attention. I listened. I was watching. I was listening. I heard what you had to say. All of this amazing stuff that seems impossible, I just heard all of it. The maidservant of the Lord. Then she says this amazing and beautiful phrase. Let it be to me according to your word. and the angel departed from her. So Mary, minding her own business, gets approached with an angel. And this angel tells her this impossible story of how she's going to give birth, even though she's never been with a man. And not only is she going to give birth, this son of hers is going to be God Himself. And she goes, okay, but how? And then he gives her the how. And her response is to fall to her knees and say, whatever you want, God. She doesn't physically fall to her knees here because she was in front of an angel. And as you'll know, if you've read angel stories before, quite often a person would fall to their knees in front of an angel, and the angel instantly says, uh-uh, don't you do that. You get up. You only worship God. So she doesn't physically fall to her knees here. But in her attitude and in her spirit, she fell to her knees and said, God, whatever you want, that's what I will do. This highly favored woman, a woman of great faith, fell to her knees in surrender to God Himself. And when you surrender everything that you have, everything that you own, everything that you are to God, that is the highest form of worship. God has called us to give of our finances. Giving is a form of worship, and you should give. God has called us to give of our time, and we should give of our time. But really, God has called us to give of ourselves. We are to fall to our knees in worship of God and say, God, whatever you want. And this Christmas, as we stop and as we look at this amazing story, I hope that like me, that you find a place of wonder and you find a place of awe, that the Christmas story this year is not just what we see, you know, Jesus in a manger. It's much, much more than that. And I hope that when you see that Christmas is the reason for worship, that you will fall to your knees in wonder and in awe and in surrender to your Creator. And you will answer this question: do you want what God wants? And that is the question for all of us this morning. Do you want what God wants? Are you willing, like Mary, to say, even if it seems impossible, God, let it be done according to your word? That is the story of Christmas. And I pray that you worship this Christmas with that attitude. With heads bowed and with eyes closed, Thomas is going to play, I hope the songs that are called Draw Me Close at the top. And when he plays that here in just a minute, I want you to do two things. I want you to think about something that brings you to awe and wonder of God. Maybe it's like me when you look at the vastness of space. Or maybe when you think about your past and how God has transformed you. Maybe that's what brings you in wonder and awe of God. Or maybe it's something else. Maybe it's the cross or the resurrection. But I want you to think of something that makes you just stop and go, wow. And then after you think of that, I want you to ask yourself this question. God, or ask God this question. God, is there something in my life that I've not surrendered to you? Is there something in my life that I'm holding on to that I'm afraid to let go of? Is there something that I need to worship you over and surrender to you? So you take a couple moments in prayer as Thomas plays the song.